Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Vince Town TV. Today, we're back for the finale of The Traitors US Season 2, titled One Final Hurdle. And we've got the whole gang here. We've got me, Kathleen, Alex, and Kevin. Everything's just wide open, baby. We know all the facts. But before we jump in, just some housekeeping. I just want to say I've been dropping Survivor episodes on The Traitors. So if you're a Survivor fan and you're listening on The Traitors feed, that's why you're seeing it. Thought there was like a connection there. Give it a listen if you watch Survivor or start watching Survivor. It's really fun. Kev, have you watched episode 2 yet?
That's next after this podcast. Okay, I'm catching up on all my programs.
All right. So we're going to be dropping that. But if you want to go check out anything else, since this is our last Traitors up, you can go to Binge Town TV. That's where all of our other stuff is. But we're here to talk about the Traitors, and we know who was crowned the king and the queen of the castle. Shockingly, CT and Trishel. Trishel made it through the night somehow and ended up winning the entire thing. So let's talk about just general thoughts on both the reunion and obviously mostly the episode, the finale. Kev?
I would love to just start by saying that the reunion was so underwhelming and a little disappointing for me. As someone who is like a Bravo super fan in a way, I feel like the reunion is something you look forward to. And I felt like it was less interactions amongst cast members and more rapid fire questions from Andy. I feel like they had a tight 40 minutes. So
let me ask a question as someone who's never actually seen a Bravo reunion. Is it because there's just too many people to get through?
How many are usually there? Typically, it's like 6 to 7, 8. Sometimes they bring the husbands out for a segment. It's more definitely more intimate. And I definitely think that's why the reunion format struggled with this show, because there's truly so many people, and also so many people that didn't really have a lot to say because they didn't really last a long time. Like Tamra, for example, it was so interesting seeing her on the reunion for this show, because historically speaking, she delivers really insane moments on Housewives reunions. Whereas this, she had like a, I don't know, sinus infection for half the season. Then she got killed. So it was definitely a little bit of a letdown. But the finale, you know, gooped, gagged. We watched it together. You heard me scream. You heard me shout. So I was entertained for sure, as someone who also is the MTV Challenge talking head, who is still watching all 40 seasons of the show. I'm happy CT won. So yeah, Castle Daddy prevails.
Castle Daddy prevails. That's iconic.
How do you feel?
Oh my God. I think we know how I feel. These people are probably sick of me talking about Trishel. I blame Kate for Trishel getting to win, but I will say this, they gave good TV. You know, that whole fire pit moment, MJ's facial expressions and piecing it together in real time. Like, they at least made it interesting, whether or not I loved the outcome. Obviously, I love CT and I'm happy for him, but, and he's a ride or die. And Trishel showed that she is not. So she still got to win in the end, anyways, which, you know, obviously doesn't sit right with my spirit or a lot of people on my timeline, but it is what it is. And I think I feel similar to Kev about the reunion, because it is hard though, right? It's like a fuck ton of people. I don't know how long they film, but you said the Housewives filmed 12-hour reunions with 7
long days. Yeah.
They are clocked in. And this came up a lot in the reunion chatter. Like, it's very different being a gamer versus a housewife in this world, or a Bravo person. And obviously Bravo people show up to the reunion ready to have their lines and deliver. And I think these other gamer people aren't really used to something like that. I don't know.
Parvati Slade.
Obviously.
I have to say, I was
reunion.
Yeah, she seemed kind of like natural, but that's such a great point. It was really interesting to see these people that don't typically have to do like as dramatic of a reunion setup. This was interesting to see who kind of like Sandra. I was kind of like, she feels uncomfortable. I feel like she's not having a good time doing this.
Whereas I think she's mad and I don't blame her. Yeah. That was a person that I was sad to see. She was so sad. I've never seen her look sad. You know, she's never looked sad on Survivor. I've never seen her
winning every season,
but I've seen her get mad. I can get loud too. Like, she's iconic, but I've never seen her be like devastated. And it hurt my heart.
Yeah. I think just for my opinion, one, I loved the episode. Two, the reunion, I think that it reminded me of a Survivor season where they bring every cast member back, no matter how irrelevant they are. And then Jeff gives them exactly one rapid fire question each and doesn't give them any time to answer it. And they're like mid sentence and their mouth is open and he's already asking the next person another question. So, of course, there was a bunch of irrelevant people, but that's OK. I mean, they're probably getting paid to go do it, so they don't care. They'll go and sit there and get hot and look great and sit there. So it's fine.
We got some good moments out of that, right? Like Peppermint first out. I think that was an important moment.
Totally agree.
I think Trishelle got away with that. Like, I feel like there should have been a little more dialogue, but maybe that's not what Peppermint wanted. And I also wouldn't blame her for that. Like, maybe not drown out the PSA with drama. I understand that too.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I have three favorite reunion moments. One is Phaedra calling Dan a low-down son of a bitch.
Period. Absolutely.
Ek and Sue, we made this up in our minds, but Ek and Sue getting the ick by Peter doing an Alan impression.
I do remember everyone being like, oh, she just got the ick from that. And I'm like, maybe, yeah.
Him and his little shaky knees when Parvati called him Al.
And lastly is MJ blocking Trishelle and CT. So fucking funny. Like, she is holding a grudge. She's not used to the gamer life. She is like
not
you.
Used to at all. I know. And I kind of felt like everyone was like truly not on MJ's side in that moment. Everyone's like, girl, enough, get over it. And she's like, they're bad people. And I'm like, maybe MJ's right.
Especially Mr. Parliament himself. He was like shutting down anyone who had, he was like, it's a game, bitch.
It was, I literally like, okay, John to me was literally the most clocked in except for like Parvati. Am I saying it right now? Because now I'm like, I'm not. Okay.
Parvati. Yes, perfect. But Parv is easier. Just Parv.
Parv. Okay. Yeah. Everyone.
It's easier.
They all clocked me. And they all clocked me because I've been saying it wrong. And I apologize to super fans. You know, I don't know.
It's okay. She forgives you. She's been getting, Jeff called her that for an entire season. So yeah.
He really did.
Me, Jeff, okay. Kevin for Bling Empire.
Literally, the Kevins cannot say it. All right, let's get into the actual episode because that was the fun part, right? Let's jump in because Kate had a decision to make and it was between Sheree and Trishelle, and gun to my head, I would have never said she was going to kill Sheree. And in the moment, we were all super bummed and upset. And I understand why she did it now. It was the only like a last ditch effort to get the traitor scent off of her. But it still was devastating. Like, I needed Sheree in that last episode and it changed the course of the game. I wasn't thinking that CT and Trishelle would make it to the end and betray everyone else to win together. That just wasn't in my brain because I was sure Trishelle wasn't making it to the end. So it kind of snuck up on me and I enjoyed it. Like, if you take away all of the bad things about Trishelle, which is really tough to do, I enjoyed it because I'm such a CT fan that I was like, this is fun to watch. They gave good TV, but I couldn't believe, I mean, we don't have to jump all the way there yet, but Sheree's exit saying that she immediately clocked Kate as a traitor. I was like, slay.
I know. I feel like that was when I was like, oh, I'm even more sad. I feel like she has gotten this edit of being a space cadet. And I do think she is a space cadet. But I also think that there's a side of her that we didn't really get to see really unravel. So I was super bummed to see her be the last killed for sure.
Right. I think it's a product of how they edited, right? She might have been like this all season in Talking Heads, at least. But we didn't get a ton of them until the numbers dwindled of people. And yeah, I think obviously Kate tried this move. It is a last ditch effort. I think it's one that could have worked in her and Phaedra's favor two episodes ago or one episode ago.
Yes, I totally agree.
It was too late. It's too few people. And as we saw with the very end result, it became a numbers thing and a relationship thing. And I think if she had picked Trishelle, Kate still would have never won. But I think Sheree, CT, and Sandra would have locked in and been good together and split it three ways. I don't know if they would have turned on each other or like had enough trust between.
I completely agree. I was thinking about that because I think a lot of people's takeaway for this decision by Kate was like, this was the only choice, really. I actually think the game could have like, exploded in a much different way if she chose someone else, not even between Trishelle or Sheree. Like, if she had eliminated someone like CT, what would have that looked like? Would that still have been like, this is so clearly a Kate move? Or would that have been an easier sell to be like, maybe this is Sandra?
So I saw something online where someone suggested that she should have attempted to kill MJ, knowing she had the shield, to make it seem like, is there a traitor or is there not a traitor left?
That would have been...
It just sows some doubt in there, which is funny. And it's tough because you want another faithful out, right? That's just like one more faithful that could vote you out. But if Kate really felt like her back was up against the wall, that was something that she could have tried.
Shit, that would have been so iconic, because then that would have led to like a more brutal round table, right? Banishment table. And then probably just longer, more footage at the fire pit thing, because, oh man. And also, sorry, MJ, I fully erased you in my theory from before. I was like, it would have been Sandra, Sheree, and CT in the end. I erased MJ.
They were going to screw her over too.
No, in that point, I think Bravo girlies would have taken it, you know, but
if you think that like it would have been like Sandra, CT, and Sheree at the end, do you think that Sandra would have been down as Survivor super fans? Do you think her as a player would have been down to be like, let's split this three ways, we're all faithfuls? Or
you're,
would she have
you're
played?
Saying Sandra, Sheree, and CT?
Yeah, say if this is what if universe happened where Kate decided to kill someone else and someone else got banished and it ended up being Sandra and two other people at the fire pit. Do you think Sandra would be like, let's all split this three ways, we're all faithfuls?
Yes, because the only reason the CT and Trishelle thing worked out, and it almost fucking didn't because of Trishelle voting CT, was because they have like a bonded alliance that is like, we are going to the end, we trust each other, whatever. I don't think between the three of them, Sandra, Sheree, and CT, they would have had a plan like that. If one of them threw the red in, that could have gotten them voted out, because it's like, who's voting for who? I don't know. If you didn't go into that plan beforehand saying, let's get CT out, let's split it together, like Sandra, Sheree, let's split it. It only worked in their favor in this one because Trishelle and CT are a pair. And again, it almost didn't work out. That's how, like, I mean, we could talk about whether or not that was staged or not, but.
Yeah, it's interesting because Trishelle was just on a podcast talking about the reason why she wrote CT's name down was Sandra, behind the scenes, it wasn't really shown, was telling her, I think CT is gunning for you next.
Okay, let's talk about the post-challenge thing, because I wrote all the sequence of events down. It was CT and Kate in the car, and CT being like, speaking of which, are you a traitor? Which was so fucking funny. Gag. I loved that for him.
Loved.
And then Kate convinced CT pretty well in the car, like, it's Sandra. Then CT tells Sandra that MJ and Kate are going for Sandra. Kate then tells Sandra that CT is shopping Sandra's name around. Sandra then tells Kate we should go for CT. Kate then tells CT that Sandra is voting CT. And CT says Sandra is voting Kate. It's so crazy. Like, I was not sure what was going to happen. I didn't know if CT's name was going to come up in that final round table, but it really was just the Kate and Sandra show. But it was crazy. I was getting whiplash.
Crazy. Insane. I know. Honestly, I feel like I forgot about the challenge in its whole, because so much happened like immediately after they finished that I was like, what the fuck is going down at this table?
A lot going down with that soup that they were getting. They were in the medieval times with that meal.
Yeah. I said, adored the soup eating in this pre-round table soup-a-thon.
You would, soup head.
Also, like, I feel like that was the most like strenuous challenge that they have literally done. And they are all literally 40s and 50s doing this shit, and then this is what their reward is: tomato soup and like a crostini.
And it's toasty insane. Bread.
Toasty bread. Give the man toasty bread. He did it all.
It's fucked.
I liked that challenge though. I thought it was goofy, but it definitely took them hours to do, not 20 minutes or whatever.
I know. I'm like, so the timer is, someone was like, the timer is the biggest traitor of them all on the show.
I was, it's cracking, like, up at that.
So true.
I wanted to eat crow really quick, because all season I'm like, the challenges don't matter. There's no stakes. They're going to give them the 250 no matter what. And I was wrong. They capped it at the 208. So they each got a whopping 104K at the end. But
I think that's because pre-tax. Budget. I was going to say the budget for this went up for the booking. So they're like, y'all aren't winning. Y'all aren't taking this fucking money home.
You got to earn this shit. And you didn't. So carve that out of the budget.
Let's talk about Kate in general, because at some point, you know, obviously Kate exits. Kate, I have to say, I fucking adored the season. I think that bringing her in added value. I was going back and forth on whether or not Kate was an added value or something that we didn't really need. I thought she was hilarious. I thought this was like kind of like a redemption arc for Kate. I thought she got to be a traitor. And then I know that when she threw the green in on the first fire of truth, that our whole house, there was 10 people here watching, was like, that's so stupid. Why would you do that? Like, that means you're a traitor. Like, absolutely. Someone was killed last night. Obviously, there's a traitor here. If you throw in green, you're probably a fucking traitor or you're stupid as hell. And I saw a tweet where Kate was basically like, I knew I was out. Like, I just kind of wanted to bounce with dignity.
I'm so conflicted on. I loved her on the show. I think that she was definitely a value add, great talking head, amazing confessionals. However, I think that part of the struggle for this particular format show, doing all reality TV super legends, a lot of these people are wealthy. That's kind of how they got onto their shows, or, you know, maybe with the exception of gamers. But I felt like it really took the stakes down for me a lot, like in a big way, where if you had a Joe Schmo on that show, they would not be doing something like that, where they're like, I want to go out with dignity. It's like, no, I want to fucking fight tooth and nail. If I'm getting eliminated, I'm going out with an absolute bang, or at least I'm trying. And I feel like that's something that I think I struggled with this show, where I felt like Phaedra's exit felt so like, I'm giving up, I'm tired, this is, I'm over it. And then Kate was kind of like, I'm done. Like, I want to leave on my own terms. Both of those examples are women who are established, have a career and a salary outside of this show. So there is lower stakes, which I think kind of takes away from the gag of it all for me a little bit.
No, I'm with you. I think we say similar things about Survivor too. Sometimes it's like, you need the people who like are dying for this, like who want it, who aren't, yeah, it just well made for TV necessarily, because they'll still give you good TV, but they're going to game hard, you know, they're going to play the fucking game. So I'm with you. I think they need to diversify network/show, because again, I think it also could make it more interesting and less instant clicks and groups. And I just think, to your point, yeah, you want people who are there to really earn some cash, whether it's not much after tax or it is, you know. I think it would up the stakes and the investment from the players, and I think for us to see who, like, investing in who wins.
I would lie my fucking ass off for $104,000.
I'm like, I would do it for a grand. Like, I'm like, get me on this show. I would be like, nope, like, there's a traitor amongst us. I would be throwing anyone's name. Honestly, I would try to gun for CT as a last stitch effort, even though no one would buy it. Go out and be like, I'm trying something, and we'll see if it sticks.
I mean,
go out blazing, right?
Go out blazing. We love Blaze. Shout out Blaze.
Shout out Blaze.
Yeah, I think that the US's choice to pivot to full cast of reality stars, I think Kev and Al, you both touched on it, it's a completely different game when you have a cast full of people who don't need the money, of course, and two, like, coming in with preconceived notions of other players and clicks, like you said, changes the entire dynamic for better or for worse. So I think that the US producers kind of thought through, like, the UK and the US and Australia, we all have different types of watchers. And I don't know that the traders would be this popular if it was just Joe Schmo and Jane Doe on the street. Like,
100%.
Agreed. It's just, it can't be like four housewives next time, in my opinion.
Well, it's interesting.
I'm like,
though,
should
because,
be six.
Like, because Kate is from Below Deck and MJ is from Charlotte Sunset, but they're all Bravo Network. So it's like, even if you split shows,
you're still getting an allegiance in a different way.
Exactly. Or Janelle and CT and Sandra and Parvati, like, they're all different shows, but they come together.
Gamers.
Yeah, gamers. So it is tough. And I'm wondering, I think that there's, like you said, Kev, that the producers are picking people and looking through people's tweets and seeing their dream cast. And maybe they're going to dive into, like, way more kind of obscure shows that people still love, like New York. She's old. Tiffany Pollard is from years and years ago. I know she's been on, like, Big Brother and House of Villains, maybe. Yeah. But like she's someone that people would get excited about, but there's not going to be two people from I Love New York.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I've seen people throw around Top Model. Like you can go in the archives of shows, Top Chef. Like there's just like other things out there. And I don't think they'd be as clicky Bravo or whatever, even if it was that network. Like I just think there's so many, especially if the audience is folks our age. We'll see. I don't really know, but that's my gut feeling. And I think that would appeal to kind of bring back the early aughts reality stars outside of the shows that still run today.
Yeah, I do have an unpopular opinion. I do think that doing these different network shows or like the Bravo, I'm like, that kind of creates already tension amongst, and I'm like, that's drama that producers don't even have to touch. So I love it. I think this is great. But I think to your point, if you're going to cast, you know, people who are wealthy, well off, this is like an extra vacation for them. Throw in some people. I think the reason why Trishelle and CT1 is like, they're MTV people. Those are people, Joe, they're living in Florida. They're living in New Orleans. These aren't people who are like super affluent. That's not how they got on to TV to begin with. And I think that it would be really interesting to show a little bit more sprinkled of that, where you just have people who are reality TV stars in their own way from random ass shows, but they're not necessarily like they still need the money. Like this is huge for them.
Yeah. I mean, that's their career, right? This is their job. So they treated it as such. And then the results were there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Trishelle was fighting for her life every episode. She was whining and crying and screaming.
Writing in her notebook.
Yeah.
She was like, I hired a stylist. I got to pay them after the show ends. I need to win this fucking pot of money.
I owe them.
Literally. Does she have kids?
I don't think so. I feel like I just did like a check-in on who is Trishelle after she won, because I remember her having a really controversial last season of The Challenge. And then apparently she came back for an all-star season of The Challenge that I did not watch. And she basically had like a apology tour redemption arc, which was like 2 years ago. So I'm like, okay.
I just saw a clip of her apologizing to Anissa on like Challenge All-Stars.
So her last season of The Challenge, she got into a really heated altercation that turned physical.
I saw that too.
Yeah, that was her last literal stint on The Challenge. So then when she got brought back for her All-Star season, Anissa was also on and they had a moment of like sit down and come together, kumbaya. And
shout out Anissa, Philly girl. We love you, girl.
I'm like, get Anissa on Traitor season 3. Like,
I saw Anissa in the King of Prussia Mall, baby. Saw her with my own eyes.
Shout out Anissa.
Okay, let's pivot to, do we have anything else on the challenge? I loved the fucking rope, like fucking rock roping down.
The rappelling.
They were scared.
That challenge, I would shit my pants. That challenge was truly so similar to a challenge that was on this season of The Challenge. So I was kind of like, oh, they're like upping the ante a little bit for these elderly folks. Like, this isn't.
Like, well, they threw him out of a helicopter into a lake in the season 1 finale of The Traitors. Again, people who are of an age having to fucking jump out into the water. Like, not fun, not safe.
Oh,
but,
crazy.
You know, very challenge adjacent and a little more hardcore than Survivor even. That's very physical, but this is like heights and shit. Like, people's deep fears come to life. My fears come to life.
I mean, it's different. They have people like hooking you into the harness. It's so goofy. This show is so goofy,
it's so
man.
Scary.
I don't know. It totally is, but it's not like they're like, get down there somehow.
Figure it out.
Like climbing down a rope with no protection.
I think my favorite part, Sandra, first half of the episode was just narrating everything in a Captain Obvious way. It was just, she can get loud too.
Sandra is excellent. I don't think. Okay, she came into here with a reputation, and everyone always says about Sandra, like, queen stays queen. That's, like, her catchphrase. I think Sandra didn't get enough screen time. I thought she was hilarious, and she does have really good strategy and gameplay. Like, let's talk about the round table with people defending themselves. I thought Kate and Sandra both defended themselves really well. I think you just couldn't change CT's mind at that point, and Trishelle just wanted to vote with the majority. But Sandra was really giving facts, and I liked her being like, I had traitor angels. I was being friends with everyone who I thought was the traitors because they're fucking killing people willy-nilly. I don't want to get killed. And she was like, I wouldn't change that strategy for the world. And she's like, I'm a fucking faithful. I don't know how else to tell you. And I kind of love that because I think that's something that traders don't really do, is like look at you in the eye and you're like, I'm a fucking faithful. They just don't do that a lot. You didn't hear Phaedra say that once. I don't think she's said I'm a faithful like convincingly one time.
Yeah.
Parvati was like half-assed things because they don't want to say it. They don't want to say that sentence because they're lying straight up by saying that.
Yeah.
So when Sandra like said it with some like gusto, being like, I'm a faithful, I've always been a faithful, I don't know what to tell you, I'm gonna stand up there just like Max and Peppermint and say I'm a faithful and whatever. And I just loved that. I want to give her a little shout out because she's our survivor girly, and I wish she was at the end, but it's okay. She made it to the finale.
I totally agree. I feel like the round table, her performance, not even performance, it was just brutal honesty, was why she is the legend that she is. She is capable of articulating in a way that like, yeah, I'm buying exactly what she's selling. And I agree. I was really sad. She seemed so sad. I felt I was sad. I experienced every emotion during this finale. I was like, I was really excited, and then that took me down. I was bummed for sure. Shout out Sandra.
She's really not used to seeing her name on the parchment. She's really not. And we got a shout out. The Queen MJ in this episode was wrong at every turn. She would make funny statements. At one point, when Sheree gets killed, MJ is a talking head. She goes, "This has to be a clue." And it's like, she has no clue what the clue could be, but she's like, "This has to be a clue." And then immediately cut to her. She'd be like, I really think Sandra's a traitor. Like, she's just wrong every ounce of this episode in the funniest way. And it was cracking me up. And like, even at the round table when she got it wrong, the thing about the round table is no one actually cared that Sandra got the boot because they need faithfuls out too. So it was fine. Like, if it wasn't Sandra, it was Kate. So they were just, it's one less person you split the money with. And I saw something online that was like, at least at the Fire of Truth, should there be a penalty for killing a faithful at the Fire of Truth? Like, should you get money knocked off because you killed a faithful, like just to kill a faithful?
I don't like that. You kind of, that like takes away, to me, that takes away some of the like strategy, that Sandra's strategy even is like, faithfuls, we're all not making it to the end. So if I got to knock some out, we need to knock some out. I don't know.
Right. And how would you prove it unless they openly said, like, I just need, and no one's going to openly be like, I need less numbers at the end for my check. Like, I think you would just be an ultimate villain off the bat. So it would be like a very subjective thing to kind of like,
no.
You're saying just getting it wrong, ding them.
Okay. I'm saying that CT and Trishel knew that MJ was a fucking faithful. There's no way they thought she was a goddamn traitor. And they killed her anyway because they wanted the money. Now, I think that's gorgeous TV, in my opinion. But some people are saying it's not fair to MJ. So should there be a penalty to CT and Trishel, like lower the money because they're just savagely doing that? Okay.
No, we need the savagery. This is reality TV, y'all. We need
I would like if it was I could see this. If it was a twist that they implemented without like telling ahead of time and people are gaming till the end and just trimming fat, and Alan's like, oh, okay, well, guess what? You have $5,000 less. Here's a check, MJ. Have a nice life. That would be funny if it like ate into their pot and that faithful got something anyway. Like, because even if like CT was a traitor in the end and then Trishel was beat, it would still eat into his funds for being like a dickhead traitor. I think that would be a little fun.
Yeah, but then it's like, I would vote MJ off for $5,000 because they saved like 30K or something by not. But you know what I mean.
MJ's like, Kathleen, how could you?
Girl math. No. She just blocked me on Instagram. MJ.
She's like, fuck you.
You felt it. She blocked Binge Town. She blocked all of us.
I also saw someone tweet like, it should be that if you vote a faithful out at the Fire of Truth, that they win all the money.
Wow. That's insane.
I think people are just workshopping, right?
People are like, let me get hired for this show. I could make some stories.
Oh my God. I would quit my job to do the 1 month, like go to Scotland and work on the show. I would be the new Fergus. I'd put a beard on and just rock as Fergus.
That would be heaven. You guys should do
manual labor.
Couples costume idea. One's Alan Cumming, one's Fergus.
Me and you. I'm Fergus.
Okay.
So I just got booted. I'm MJ.
You're MJ.
You're blocked. Okay, let's like jump to the Fire of Truth then. We're there. We talked about a lot of it, but what else do we have to say? I mean, we were fucking gagged by Trishel.
Gagged, gooped, and gathered.
We were going to be gagged just from CT and Trishel picking MJ out. Like, that was going to be like a betrayal enough. And then I just love that CT and MJ are the same amount of letters. And like, you know, when fucking MJ was writing Trishelle, it was taking so long. You're like, okay, she voted for Trishelle, not CT. But when she flipped it, we all jumped up and screamed. It was, that's TV, baby. That
is why we come. This is why we sit and watch.
We play the game, baby.
It was. They gave us that good. You know, it made the ending. It just was that excitement, the heart pounding, as Kevin said. He's always like, I'm about to scream.
I truly was on that couch screaming my ass off. But I know. And I feel like I don't want to be the one to shatter the reality TV illusion, because I am someone who loves all of these shows so much. But there is a sliver of me that is like, was she told to write this down? And was this kind of another gag that the producers were like, let's really shake the fucking table and go out with a bang? Because if they did that, that's fine. It worked. It worked out in the favor and like created the storyline. But yeah, I mean, I guess it would be risky for Trishelle to like maybe do that by someone else's recommendation. So I'm not sure.
I also think these people, though, know how to play the game and make good TV too. Like, and it's not just the Bravo ladies. Like, ow, obviously Trishelle. So Kathleen just hit me. You all saw it. Well, Kevin saw it and you all heard it. But it also could have been Trishelle deciding that for herself. I don't think just the Bravo girlies who know how to almost like self-produce and like get their moments in. But she was so gung-ho to win. That maybe she really did think CT. Maybe Sandra really did sow those seeds, like you said.
Yeah, here's my rebuttal, because I was on board with being like, it could have been faked. I think Trishelle was legitimately scared until CT said the words, faithful, 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 baby, let's go.
His little dance.
Yeah, and MJ's not that good of an actress. She was gagged. Her mouth was agog.
Agog.
And there's no way they would have had to like, MJ could have wrote CT or Trishelle. It was a toss-up. Flip a coin. If she wrote CT, they would have won. MJ and Trishelle would have won. That was a flip of a coin. Trishelle is lucky that she wrote Trishelle and not that. But I just don't know that like MJ would have coordinated it. But do you think that MJ should have flopped and wrote CT the second time? Just in case. It doesn't matter, because Trishelle ended up writing MJ. But it's all about who MJ believed would flop. Like, because Trishelle wrote CT, would CT then write Trishelle and not believe her? Or do you think Trishelle was not convinced and wrote CT again? Like, you know what I mean?
I do. I feel like I think from MJ's POV, I think I would have probably switched and done CT.
Me
because
too.
I think that Trishelle would have stuck around before CT flipped on her. I think that CT is like in a place in his gaming career where he really is just like trying to win. And I think that he was truly trusting her till the end. And I think he kind of had a soft spot and was kind of like, I can't believe we're here and we're going to ride this wave together. So I don't think he would have ever done that, to be honest. I think that would have made him kind of revert back to maybe looking like a little villainous, which I think he just had such a great edit this season that it's like, why would you want to taint that?
He really did.
Yeah. He was given like puppy dog eyes when Trishelle did that.
I was so melting.
Like, he was like, come on, man. Like, really? I'm here. Like, he was really giving facial acting or facial expression, really. I don't think that the whole torch thing, she's so fucking dramatic. She's still holding on to it at the fire of truth. Like, please. He's like, please, Trishelle, we could fucking win this. Like, what are you doing? So,
yeah.
Wait, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry. I just booted her off the mic. I headbutted her.
Oh my God.
I actually think that Trishelle was right in suspecting CT, especially 100%. If Sandra was in her ear. And there were a few things like, why would CT switch to Sandra? And there's a minuscule moment, a micro moment in the round table where CT says, Sandra, I do think you're a traitor. And Trishelle like gets like, takes a deep breath and is like gasp.
She's truly like, da-da-da, what?
Yeah. And Trishelle is a good game player because she read the table and voted with the majority. I don't think she needed to vote with the majority. Everyone thinks she was a faithful. If she ended up voting for Kate, it would have been fine because Sandra still would have gone. But I don't blame her for being sketched by CT, especially with their history. Like, they weren't always a perfect pair, I think.
Totally.
Yeah.
They've had rocky seasons on shows together. And also the format of the challenge, the show that they're both most known for. There have been many seasons where there's been a few seasons. I shouldn't say many, but there's been a few seasons where you truly get to the end with a partner or someone else. And you get to choose, like, do I want to take all the money or do I want to split it with my partner? And I think just coming from that background, you're already guarded on edge and having a history with this person where you're like, you know, we're getting to a good place now, but like, this is a TV show. Would he do this to me? Yeah. I mean, listen, great TV. I wish that I liked her more, but I do think that we have to give her a little bit of acknowledgement. She is a manic, insane, annoying person who played a really great game.
You
do need those manic, crazy psychopaths on TV, unfortunately. These people aren't meant to be our moral compasses of the world. We are watching to watch chaos television, and paranoia. Yeah. We're watching to watch television.
Exactly. I do think she played a good game and so did CT. So gameplay wise, like, they did deserve it. And Trishelle tweeted something because everyone's just trashing her on Twitter, at least on my Twitter. Like, people are responding her posts being like, you are disgusting. You are trash.
She had to turn her comments off on Instagram.
Yeah. And so someone like called her out being like, you don't deserve, or like, MJ deserved it. And Trishelle responded being like, me and CT had to do for the previous challenge to get 30K, did the entire challenge. And the only thing MJ did was get a shield. So I, like, there's certain things where I was like, Trishelle did work her ass off. It's not like she didn't. It's just that she has like tainted her reputation and people aren't celebrating her like they're celebrating CT.
Right. And this is not all off. It's not even remotely off of this season. I mean, the start of the season. But yeah, like you said, her reputation is decades long. It's just, you know, I think it's okay that people are just like, ugh, I don't need to be happy for you, but I guess good job. Like, you did a good job.
Yeah.
Two things can be true.
And then I had one last moment on the reunion I wanted to talk about.
I wanted to go back for the, like, the peppermint moment. I feel like I'm seeing a lot of people talk about potential returning players from this season coming back. So many people are like, Johnny Bananas, especially now that like two challenge people won. I feel like people are saying that. And I'm just like, literally, peppermint. If you want to give someone a proper redemption arc, and if you want to like be an advocate and kind of right the wrong, then like, I think that would be really interesting to see peppermint on the show. And also, there's so many fucking crazy people from RuPaul's Drag Race that should go on with them and be like, yeah, this is TV that we need. So shout out to Peppermint and not Johnny Bananas, because
Johnny.
We're good on that.
We don't need that evil, that mask, that evil face.
That fucking mask face. I can't, as someone who is truly an MTV Challenge super fan, I'm like, there's so many other people that they could pull from that show that are good, entertaining people. I don't really need him to be the Kate of season 3. So producers, if you're listening, don't fucking do it. Don't do it.
I used to have such a crush on Wes because I loved redheads.
People think that Wes is going to be on next season.
Redhead?
Yeah, Wes is redheaded.
Well, he's bald. He's bald headed now, but
strawberry blonde.
He's a ginger. He has a
ginger
beard.
In the face. Yeah. But no, I agree. I thought Peppermint needed to have that time. The only thing I wished was that Trishelle said something back. I don't know if like she wasn't planned on saying something. Like,
I have notes on that.
Okay. But just to comment on what you said, more Drag Race people, like, bring Peppermint on, but bring two other Drag Race people, two to three.
Yeah.
Even if, like, bring in more than one so they can at least have an ally coming in to it. You know what I mean? They have like multiples of other shows. So bring in more so there's more visibility and more personalities. And it's only going to make it funner because like Drag Race people are the epitome of good TV and dramatic and fun. So
I think that's honestly such a great call out. I feel like there's also just such an opportunity. There's so many queer and trans people that are on other shows that maybe aren't getting the big stage that Traitor is. And I think that there's a huge opportunity for that to happen. But my note on the Trishelle Peppermint thing from the reunion was, I was wondering if you guys thought that Trishelle didn't have that kind of exchange with Peppermint because they didn't want, like, Peppermint didn't want that, or if it was to kind of protect the show's finale. It's like, this is our winner. This is your winner. And people are pissed off at past behaviors from this show, past shows. Do you feel like it was kind of a move from production to, like, not really talk about it or, like, unpack it because they didn't want to be like, we just crowned this person who sort of has microaggressions?
Yeah. And I mean, Peppermint talked about, like, bias coming into the show and all that. So I do agree. Maybe Trishel did say something and they cut it. Who's to say? Like, it could be any.
That's their MO, these editors. So how are we to know? But either way, it's like, I'm good with it because it just gave Peppermint the moment and it didn't have to be some back and forth that also could have, you know, chipped away at the message. Ultimately, you know, they already did some exchanges online. I think she's probably good with it and good with her. I could see in her face.
I think
she's good on her.
I think it was good to give Peppermint the last word, actually. Like, give Peppermint.
For sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, don't even give Trisha the platform, actually.
Actually.
My last thought is that honorable mention to Kate's white outfit at the end. That was my favorite outfit maybe of the season. She was stunting, and Sandra being like, look at her outfit. She's screaming traitor. And then Kate just like, thank you.
It was so good. I love that everyone hired a stylist. It made it very, very fun. Yeah. Everyone but CT hired a stylist and it was very fun.
No, he definitely did. And then he fired him before the reunion. The reunion, he just showed up in like khakis and a fucking...
a corduroy jacket.
Exactly. Which is fine. But then
that's Trishel, my hero.
The other winner next was Kev. You said a Hunger Games.
Literally in the capital of the Hunger Games in a psychotic way.
He came from District 12 in his little, like,
he's making bread. He's PETA.
He is.
He did come from District 12. Christ. Okay. So, final thoughts on the season. Apparently, they're going to start filming again. They're doing 2 a year now. So, we may be back sooner than you think. So, final thoughts.
I had a blast and a half. I feel like I am new to the show, but now I'm all in, fully invested. I think highlights for me was watching, you know, different pockets of reality TV compete together. There's all these weird dynamics. There's people that I'm like, now I want to watch their season of Big Brother or something. It kind of like sparks this like reinvested interest in shows that I've kind of given up on. And so that has been a blast and a half. And I think the personalities too that really shine through are people that I'm like, I had no idea I would be loving you. John, shout out John. That's my
John.
That's my short king. That's my filth reader. Gagged us all. But yeah, I feel like MJ too is someone who I'm now like, I want to watch Shaws of Sunset because this woman holds a grudge and that could be fun. But yeah, loved it. The downside, I think, was some moments felt like the stakes were too low and the people were too rich and gave up. So those are my highs and lows.
Yeah, I want to put my marketing hat on and be like, is Peacock measuring the lift that the show is giving other shows? It'd be really interesting to see, because I think that's very valid. This is like a show that's reached a ton of people, according to press I'm seeing, not just my timeline. But I think it'd be interesting to see what other shows kind of get a spike coming out of it. Because, I mean, wow, there wouldn't be enough time in this life, I feel, to go dig into each character in each show. And, you know, it would be a lot, but... I had fun. I think, Kev, you should watch season one if you have time at any point, just to see the difference. I would love to know your opinion, but
yeah,
it was a great season and a masterful game by the winner, in my opinion. So I just think it's worth a watch. A lot of people I know came into Traitors on season two only. I quick binged season one before this, and I would just recommend it if you guys have time in the downtime and didn't. And I think kind of the world's their oyster. I hope they take the feedback from people online, maybe even us. Just kidding. But you know what I mean? I think there's so much they can do with this and make it more fun. Like, the foundation of it is there and is amazing. Getting the right cast is kind of obviously like the formula, but the things that they could do with games, their edit could just make it even more addicting. And I'm just happy to have appointment TV, you know, here and there again.
Yes.
Yeah. Go watch season one, even though we spoiled the entire thing throughout these 11 episodes in this podcast. But no, I totally agree. I love it. I'm glad that it's a phenomenon, like, enough that we had 10 friends over for the finale. Like, that's iconic. And I had a blast covering it, and I can't wait for season three. I think they're just going to keep tweaking it, and these shows are fluid. Like, they can change, and that makes it more fun, and especially, like, change it up for the players in the game. You know, if you've seen two seasons, you need to shake it up so they don't think they know everything. But yeah, I'm not sure if I said this in person or on the last pod, but I can't believe there was a time I didn't know who Phaedra Parks was, and now, like, that is the greatest gift.
Welcome to heaven.
Yeah, quite literally.
I feel like this really lifted her star. I mean, she's about to appear at all these
drag brunches
and pride events. And I'm like, someone was like, book her for Philly Pride. I'm like, please.
Literally, Phaedra Parks, please come to Philadelphia. We will show up.
I have a guest room. Stay here, queen.
She'll be the Fourth Season.
Oh, there she is, going somewhere else.
She looks younger than me. It's fucking crazy.
She's
beat and whatever else she's got going on.
Yeah, that's the episode. That's the season. Thank you, Kev. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it. It was so fucking fun to pod on the show. But yeah, like I said, since this is ending, we're going to be posting Survivor episodes on the Traders feed, if that's where you're listening. But if you want to listen to, like, our scripted stuff, it's all on our Binge Down TV feed. Right now we're doing Masters of the Air and Shogun, and we just finished True Detective and a bunch of other ones. But go check us out if you want to see what else we're up to. It's not Alex and Kevin, but it's a bunch of other people who are also equally fab. And yeah, we'll be back in a few months, and go listen to our Survivor pod, and love you guys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.